can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to this Wednesday night to the Watching for Jesus Bible study. We're going to talk about being born again tonight and see how far we get. I'm going to add some things to what I talked about recently in the previous show last night, Bible study, about being born again. That's what it's all about. And there's people actually out there. The more I study this, the more it amazes me the heresies that are being produced out there to keep people from learning the truth. It's just really amazing. The war that's going on this level. And how clever that they're being in trying to throw people off. And they themselves are deceived. So many heresies. And I'm going to try to talk about them tonight based on original sin. That's really the groundwork of the heresies that's coming out. Is denial of original sin. In the Bible Believer's Handbook, it's called Denial of Sin Nature from Birth. It's a doctrine. Denial of sin nature from birth is one. There are so many of them. It's all these religions that have put together. They're just for that nature, to deceive. I want to start off here. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and remind you also, we won't be having Bible study or broadcast tomorrow because it is this thing called Thanksgiving. And it's good to be thankful. You should be thankful every day, not just one day a year. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it, but he fulfilled it. He is the Sabbath. Thanksgiving is every day, is it not? Aren't we supposed to pray? Not only because the meals are GMO products, but because we're thankful for what we got. Every day is a Thanksgiving. Not just one day out of the year. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, we come together for Bible study, and Father, we call upon you to touch us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, to guide us along tonight. And Father, tomorrow and the rest of this week, Lord, that you lead us in the right path. Give us wisdom in the sermons, in the studies. Protect us with your Holy Spirit for any interruptions and interferences. Give us wisdom, discernment to see through the deception that's being promoted and put out there. And Father, to help us, give us the words to speak to others. Father, we pray for our brethren, our families, friends, and those, Father, ask us to pray for them. Father, we lift them up to you for healing, bringing families together, giving families comfort that's lost a loved one. And Father, give us an insight, a wisdom, discernment, to see through the deception of the end times that's being promoted by these heresies. And Father, give us that wisdom. We can read the Bible and see what's coming. That Father, we can be watchmen for others. We pray for guidance tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you'll forgive us of our sins. And those we can't remember, Lord, you bring them to our minds if any unforgiven sin we haven't repented for. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to add some things today. The heresy going around, as I indicated the past day or two, was that you're not born again until Jesus Christ comes back and then changes your body into the immortal. That is being born again. Well, there's some things inherently wrong with that. He's not going to accept you and change you until you're born again first. It's like taking you up for nothing. It's denial of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And they hit you with all kinds of scriptures. But when you really go through their scriptures, they give you all the words. I've hit you with truth. I've used the scriptures and you deny it, and so forth and so on, to take the high ground on you. If you really break it down, they're just going around in circles. They just throw out scriptures, hoping you don't know it, but amaze you with the scriptures they throw out, but they almost always don't make sense. Every time. They don't have any rhythm or rhyme to it, or organization, better said. Doesn't lead you to an exact point. This would indicate, this would also support what Copeland and Joyce Myers and all those who say that Jesus Christ was punished in hell. That means he was sinful first, and that's not true. But through him being, have no sin, God incarnate in human flesh, he can forgive sins. So if he came to forgive sins, there'd be no need for him if when you die or when Jesus Christ came back. What about those that died and their sin? See, it doesn't make any sense what they say. The Bible declares the reality of sin from cover to cover. Some spiritualist groups and so forth insist that sin is only a concept of the mind. And that mind over matter thing. Ooh, does that sound familiar? Mind over matter, humanism, Carnegie. Carnegie was Illuminati. He's a Freemason. Carnegie, S.R.E. Bob. Tony Robbins. The conquest of humankind. I can do it myself. I can climb Mount Everest. Look what I've done. Where's the glory to God come from? Where's it going to come into the picture? I do, you know, it's kind of hard to speak out when you have, you know, disabled people that have done these amazing things. They've run marathons and trials and trips. They never who gives glory to God that got them through it? That's what I look for. Everybody takes, like Moses did. Remember when Jesus said, or God told him, strike the rock, but instead Moses got a little bit high and mighty and spoke to it. But Moses went against God. God told him to speak to the rock, but Moses went his own way. And he was punished for that one little thing. We consider one little thing. You see. And God don't mess around. Moses struck the rock. God commanded Moses to strike the rock. Promises to make water flow in the desert to the people. Later on, God tells Moses to speak to the rock. Promising to make water flow in the desert again. But Moses strikes the rock again instead of speaking to it. Because of just this one thing, God said to Moses, he'll no longer be permitted to bring the people in the promised land. That was harsh for such a what we consider a small infraction. What was going on there? We have to disobey. We have to obey God. In every case, we have to obey God. In every case. Moses was usurping God's place. He said to the people, "Here now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" The emphasis is technically mine, but it was already there. You see, Moses didn't say God will bring water out of this rock for you. He, with Aaron, took God's place and assured them that he would do it for them. You see? That was the infraction. It was him taking credit for what God did. When he opened up the ocean, the cross at the Red Sea, behold, he gave God the glory. But he didn't with the rock. That's how important it is. You see. So, another angle comes from the Church of Christ. That's where you're going to get it. David Pack, Arnold Murray, these guys. It teaches that men are not born with a sin nature, but rather become sinners later in life. This suggestion is almost funny wouldn't be sad to anybody who's taken time to read their Bible. Psalms 51, verse 5. In Psalms 51, verse 5. And again tonight, I just see God speaks. I mean, when he speaks, he don't speak, but he talks to your heart. I put things together as I go along. It just seems that's the way I do it. It's becoming more and more frequent. I will tell you that. A little bit scary sometimes. I always like to have some kind of plan of some nature, but lately it's not been anything. Behold, I was sharp in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Now, somebody's missing something here. I don't know which Bible they're using. But it tells you right there, you're in sin, did my mother conceive me? I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me? 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Whew. You get mad at me if you want to, but that's what the Bible says. You know, I mean, it's clear about this. Romans 3, verse 10. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 23. Seems to keep popping up, don't it? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 5, 12. And we just keep going. We just go and go and go. There, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. There's no way around that. Men are born sinners with a sin nature, which is why Jesus said we must be born again. John 3:3. Jesus answered, said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that, you know, what, how they get this from? It's heresy is where they get it from, that's why. Now, let me explain very quickly the genius of God planning ahead of original sin. I may tell you something you haven't heard before. If you've been listening to me all these years, 5 years, you might have heard this before, but let me tell you what sin does, original sin for the enemy. And this is why they pretend to be Christians and they come on your sites, Facebook or YouTube or whatever, and they'll even be friends with you and all this, and they'll say all the good words. Oh, bless you. Oh, I love God. Blah, 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 blah. I say, uh-huh. And I wait. And I got little ways, and I'll tell you my secret of poking them. I call it poking them. Call it what you want. But I'll say, well, I'm glad we both agree that King James Bible is the true word of God, no others. And I wait. 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, 3,000. I'll write it or I'll say it. And I wait for the response. They either got to say nothing, or they got to say, well, and there comes a conviction, and it doesn't show their hand. You see, I got other little ways of, okay, so it's sneaky. But I like to find out what they're thinking and what they're coming from. But usually that what gets people to show their true side. I struggle with my sin every day. I have these thoughts and things. I can go away. It's not easy, but also I don't want to go back the way I used to be. But let me tell you the purpose of original sin. How God saw this. How God planned this. It's just amazing. You see, the wisdom of God in original sin, here's what it does. Adam and Eve had free will. of angels. I talked about that today in the broadcast, actually, that angels had free will. They weren't robots. Adam and Eve had free will. They weren't robots. So, now this, I may have about a 5 second break here if my battery goes down, and I'll have to change my batteries on my speaker here. That's not me. Original sin, what it does is continually obstructs the natural expansion of the religion of Wiccan. That's what it does, of Wiccan or Satanism or Luciferianism. It's a straitjacket that checks any movement of the heart or head from their perspective. It binds them hand and foot and drains the blood from the evil because it represents a survival of what's called static concepts. It's kind of an acronymism of the evolutionist system of thought. It binds them, the original sin. Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest, his influences in chapter 4 talks about it, of Christianity and evolution, of what original sin does to the New Age movement, to the Wiccan. They're all the same, just different names. So original sin binds them. That's why it's important to get rid of the Bible, important to change the theology that about Jesus, because it goes back to original sin and what it does. Because they can't beat it. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ beat that, see? So there's nothing they can do. It's too late. It's over. Everybody thinks that we all lost. We ain't lost anything. Going to go through some tribulations, but we're trying to promote fear. Destroy people's faith. That's how they try to win. To promote people with the fear of death. That's why the education system has always been based on communism and Marxism ever since our education system ever started. I discovered. And death education, they call it. Quite ingenious, actually. But I wouldn't sit there and admire it too long. Because they ain't going to be around here too long. People were asking me the other day, today, about the quantum something computer whiz-bang fancy computer thing going on. Whatever. And I said, no, I don't know really. I know they've got a fancy computer, and I know that they got all this technology and all this, but I said, hold on a minute. I said, why are you worried about that for? Because all that doesn't make a bit of hell of a difference. It don't matter. When the tribulations come, it's over. See, people forget about that. They get all scared about the computer system, the all this stuff going on and so forth. And everybody dwells on it at the highest level. Well, all that's gone, man. That's not going to be around. It's not going to be a problem when the tribulations begin, peace and prosperity. There'll be martyrs. People are going to die. But if you're afraid of death, that's why they're going to use your family against each one to get at least get one or two to renounce Jesus Christ. It's coming. Martyrs under the altar, fifth seal. That's why it says in the scriptures about not loving your family more than him. He knows what's coming. He tells you. It's coming. Horace Mann was one of the fathers of American education. John Dewey was another one. Horace Mann visualized, back in the 1830s, passing it on to John Dewey and so forth, he visualized a world where no one would be in the prisons, a virtual utopia. If he could get Christianity out of education, he's largely succeeded. The result is horrible in terms of teen pregnancies, abortions, assaults, robberies, murders, rapes, vandalisms. The list just goes on. And Horace Mann, in his idiocy, predicted a utopia. They have a TV program called Utopia. But he got the currently increasing awful mess. See, Satan works this way, and then he backstabs the ones that's worked for him. Family, it is up close and personal, right in your face. And that one guy tell me when I went to a little hometown this past week, I started talking about it. This guy knew what was going on. He's worked for GE and is very, very smart, but he's like Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky kind of thing. And I started talking about this because he knew about it. He looked at me like, hey, man, won't talk about that. You're messing up my karma. He started talking about the games and football and all this stuff. I said, well, what about that? Now, man, I can't talk about that. You messed my karma up, man. Your karma. You know, like, he knows the stuff, so he goes over it by the drinking, sports, happy-go-lucky, Mr. Happy going on here and all this and all that. Nothing wrong with being happy, but people get all depressed when they talk about the reality. It don't change the reality. It's coming. It means just get ready for it. To be born again is the ticket before Jesus comes or before death, whichever comes first. The sinner, for all his sin, that comes short of the glory of God. The problem is, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man to be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man, right there, John 3:3 slams it. And the sentence, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. And the Savior, but God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. The solution? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. And the timing? Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. And your acceptance, your free acceptance of God's gift, if you really believe that Jesus Christ took your place in judgment for your sins on the cross, you can pray the following prayer that you've heard before. That Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. I do now receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. And mean it, not just say the words as a mantra of some sort. And the result would be, if you sincerely prayed a simple prayer, you're born again. But saying the words won't get it. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. There's the indicator. Continuing, and behold, all things can become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you've said the prayer and you still are not convicted of the blood oath of the Freemasons, you still continue in everything you've already done, something's wrong. That's one of the indicators. Are you saved and born again?
Well, I sure hope so.
You hope so? Oh. So you ask yourself, am I still doing what I did before? Do I continue in the sin? Or have some things changed? That's one of the biggest indicators right there. He'll take something away to let you know he was there. It says clearly, if you confess with your mouth, Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. How much more clear can you get? And Jesus said, like he did with Lazarus, when they moved the stone away, Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in to him. The door is your heart. You want to call it your chakra? Well, you go on ahead. There's no chakras when God's concerned. He makes them or takes them away. He do what he wants to. John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It is all through the Bible. So I'm wondering, wait a minute, what are they reading? And to cover it all, what about Matthew 7:21-23? Now that's a kicker right there, buddy. That's a kicker. That's what's going to get a lot of people. Matthew 7:21-23. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that is one I call a gulp. Gulp? Hey, you got it? It's like, oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine the gnashing of teeth when you think you're doing the... So you'd think, well, why didn't they know? You ever thought about that? I always wondered about that until I did some study on it. And then some things kind of popped up one day and I said, wait a minute. That means these are Christians that think they're Christians that have been following the heresies. Given abilities that Satan is to exorcise demons out or healing, that'd be Reiki. They're given some skills, thinking they're doing it for God. And then they come to find out they haven't been. And that's drastic. So you look for the indicators. There'll be one of them. Original sin binds them, though. There's a lot of religions today that deny the concept of original sin. Baha'i says man is born good and that we need education to reform ourselves. And likewise, the predecessors, Islam, which was created by the Vatican, by the way. Yeah, you heard me right. It teaches that there is no original sin. See, they all hit on it. The Mormon Church denies it by saying that Adam did not fall from his state of innocence downward, but actually fell upward. You know, that by listening to the devil's lies and actually gave him the opportunity to become a god, that's why they say at the highest level that they'll inherit a planet when they die. I mentioned, one Mormon said to me, I told him about that, he said, oh, no, I'm not that, I won't never reach that high. What? I'm not that high level Mormon. Oh. We're stuck on our religion, our political position, our country, flag, whatever it is, stops everything. I was talking to some folks a couple weeks ago, and we're really getting along at this bookstore that I go to about the New World Order and about God and about all this stuff. And I mentioned the word Mormon. That stopped all conversation. Whoa! I said, what? I'm Mormon. I can't talk any further on it. We're done.
Huh?
Yeah, you know, stopped conversation. No matter what we said before, no matter what makes sense after, when I said that word, where they're loyal to that religion, they're done. The mind like shuts down. Don't want to hear no more. Because religion is like a chain. Jesus is not about Christianity. Because right now we're talking about Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. We got all kinds of denial of this, that, or the other within Christianity. So when you say Christianity, you better define that. It's a religion, like Islam. They have different doctrines, obviously, but it for those people, they've got a designed religion. Scientology, for them. New Age movement, for them. Some people like the Church of God. Some people like the Restored Church of God. You go to the Baptist over here, that's got different doctrine. You go to the Methodist over here, it's a watered-down version of the Catholic Church. You got the Presbyterian, watered-down version of the Catholic Church. And just 37,000 different sects. Why can't there be just one? No, there's 37,000, man. Different names. International Church of Christ and, oh, gosh. Which denomination are you? What do you mean? Does that separate? Which denomination? What difference does it make? You got one Bible. It's not subjective. It's objective. It's got what's called commandments. There's not 10 suggestions. You got 10 commandments. There's a big difference there. And Jesus Christ fulfilled the fourth one. He is the Sabbath. We talked about that before. We are born with a sinful nature, inclined to sin. It means that we're born sinless, that there's only two categories. Biblically, God told Adam that he would die in the day that he was disobeyed. And Adam's death, which was from sin, was the first spiritual and then physical. Same sequence for all humanity. We're all born with a built-in death warrant, which is a sin nature, because we have inherited that sin nature from Adam. We are already spiritually dead, separated from God. That's what the sacrifice of animals was about throughout the Old Testament, was anticipation. So the sacrifice of an innocent animal, starting with Cain, right? He was told what to do. Was an anticipation. So it cleared you of the sins for that year. But it was anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. I didn't know who his name was then. 360 prophecies in scriptures. Finally he came. Mary's the first one to find out about that one, wasn't she? And she was told what to name him. You will name him Jesus. He existed before he was born. He existed in the Trinity. On there, I know. Yeah, they got denial of the Trinity too. They got all the bases covered. But not covered in God's eyes. Because judgment's coming. Psalms says, Psalm 58:3, the wicked go astray from the womb. They err from their birth, speaking lies. In Psalms 51:5, David claimed he was conceived in iniquity. Job asks the question, what is man that he could be pure? And he who is born of a woman that could be righteous. Job 15:14. Job 25:4, how then can a man be righteous before God? Or can he be made pure who is born of a woman? Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That covers the whole spectrum. I mean, just those scriptures I gave you, and it just goes on and on and more. You know, sin, one could be a sinner without showing any actions outwardly. Sin is being selfish. One can have a wrong attitude and desires contrary to God and not act upon it. I've mentioned before these 8 steps. I'm not going to go into them right now. But there's 8 steps of changing a culture from democracy to a dictatorship, from bondage to dictatorship. It takes about 250 years. And some are accelerated, and the Illuminati monitor it, set it up, and each generation projects it. That's how it goes 250 years. This is like a family tradition that's been going on all this time. Well, here's the point. One of the steps is selfishness. Apathy is promoted. Pride is promoted. You see it every day. You got to have pride in your team. Take pride in what you're doing. You don't have any pride, man. You're worthless. See, it's all put in our heads the whole time. With pride, you have no humility. Patriotism embroils the spirit. So let's use patriotism to blind people. Man, this goes way beyond everything I've been taught myself as a former U.S. Marine. It goes opposite of everything I've been taught. This is not easy, let me tell you. It goes against everything I've learned in my life. It's everything's opposite. You know that Jesus stated in the Sermon on the Mount that one did not just break the law from their outward actions, but it started from the inside. What makes one a transgressor of the law is what I've said many times, the intent of the heart. Even if one didn't commit the physical act of murder, if they harbored hatred towards someone in the heart, that's where the sin begins. Is desire to want to murder. You get that? That's in the Bible now. It's in the Bible. So then it really pops in my mind about what these here preachers are thinking nowadays. I mean, really. I don't understand it myself. I just don't understand it. How they can have 10,000 people in their congregation. You know, it's like a football game. It's like a national NFL. They've got auditoriums full of people. And they preach this stuff and everybody just sits there. For example, on TV.
People of God, quit attacking men of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. You're God in heaven. I wish I can just... Ooh. They call it the minister in my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. But don't mention people's names on your radio program and your TV program, thinking you're doing God service. You're not. You stink, frankly. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes I wish God...
Benny Hinn. I'll speak his name. It's Benny Hinn. What's going on, family? Got to call it like you see it. With their own words. looking for that justification, leading people to hell. It's part of the heart. It's being put out there like crazy. Right in front of our face, and everybody just sits there. Because we're trained not to rebel, but against rebel against God, but not against humans. Unbelief is a sin. You know what makes one transgress of the law is the intent of the heart. That's where it all starts. They've already broken the law from the heart and are guilty. That's why all mankind are sinners. We all fall short of God's perfect standard inside and out. That's why Jesus Christ came. In our nature and our deeds, and unbelief is a sin. To not believe in Christ is a sin. Anything contrary to the nature of God, to the character and conformity of His will, is sin. In Paul, he stated, whatever is not of faith, as trusting God, is sin. So it's not just our actions that makes us a sinner. Otherwise, Christ could have been born through two human parents. His actions would still be sinless. However, it was this very reason, because He took on human flesh, that He had a virgin birth. And to bypass the sin nature of man and to have sinless blood. You see what happened? That's amazing. He did not receive the DNA of Adam. It came through Mary. It's important. And still, through Mary, the bloodline of David, He inherited the throne. Through man, through that connection. God's amazing, isn't He? For the life of man is in the blood. For it's where it lies. That's where they get to drinking the blood in Wicca sacrifices. And they consume the blood of infants and the flesh of infants. The death of infants gives them long life, they think. Oh, we're talking medical nurses, doctors. We're talking very high up. Oh, very high up. They believe in the consumption of the baby, consumption of the blood, the sacrifice, mocking God's sacrifice. I'm not going to go there right now. But you kind of get the idea where I'm headed with that one. The view of man being born without original sin, it's not new. It goes back to about 400 A.D. Pelagian taught that there was no such thing as original sin. It goes back 5th century. He taught that Adam's sin affected only himself. There's others that teach that Adam was created in Genesis 2. Mankind was created in Genesis 1. And Adam was the first Jew. What? And they sinned. So mankind's not sinful. Yeah. Oh, they got all kinds of mess going on. Christian Identity and Arnold Murray and these guys think that. They're connected. Men having absolute freedom to choose good by His will. It's also possible to be saved apart from the gospel. Augustine, he challenged the view that Pelagius promoted the 5th century. Pelagius, he saw sin to be basically an outward show of man, or outward work of man, and had the freedom to choose to sin or not to sin. And so what he did, he stated that sin incapacitated man. Augustine, well, he was one of the church fathers, according to the Vatican. He appealed to the overall teaching of Scripture, stating that sin incapacitated man from doing good. They got so many twists and turns, it's like a pretzel on steroids, man. They go in all kinds of directions. He also stated that we're born sinners and we lack the power to do good. Yet we all choose bad over good, and in doing so are held accountable for our actions. So Augustine gave a story of man who abstained from food that was necessary, and this for his health, and became so weak that he could no longer eat at all. While he was a human being, he created having an obligation to eat to keep himself in good health. But he was no longer able to do so. Augustine argued that humanity, through Adam, as a, well, let's say the federal head of the human race, became incapacitated toward God, unable to obey and love him, which was the very purpose that we were created. You see, Satan works through these philosophers, false prophets, and keeps people confused. Now today, this morning earlier, this afternoon, I talked about, really, I got on a roll, I think, on where this conspiracy is actually headed. How Satan has corrupted what we've been taught, where we've been led, education, everything. And it's a daily battle because it's put in our brains. Like even tonight, when I'm trying to talk about this, that pride is in the way. It goes against my learning that I've had all these years from the day I was born. But I got to say it anyway. And then to get it in my mind to relearn it, I mean, that's not easy. Not at all. And one of the ways they've done this is they've come into the church and started changing the music to a rock style by design. They remove hymn books like we used to have. In some cases, eliminating the choir, controlling the choir, changing the music and the instruments. They replace the organ and piano with heavy metal instruments and drums by design, based on the occult. They have repetitive singing of praise lyrics. They just dress down on purpose of casual and informal attire on the pulpit. They eliminate the business meetings and church committees and councils of elders and boards of deacons and so forth. The pastor or new leader with a few assistants, usually four, take charge of all church business. Rick Warren is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations of the Illuminati. He's linked up very, very closely with Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Satan Bible and the NIV Bible. Yeah, he sure does. They work on, as they've been taught, to stress the psychological relationship with each other. Kind of a touchy-feely, kind of new age kind of move. Funded budgeted programs are abandoned or ignored. Ambiguous financial reports. A connection to the 501c3 that the government controls what's preached, what Bibles you use. Sunday morning, evening, or Wednesday prayer services are changed to other times. Some may even be eliminated completely. Sunday school teachers have moved to different classes, replaced by new teachers, more sympathetic with the changes being implemented of the New Age movement. They dropped the name Sunday school. Classes giving new names. Family, they have brainstormed the Council of National Policy. They brainstormed in the Jesuits that they've trained Baptist ministers that were Jesuits trained to be Baptist ministers. Even Rick Warren instructed his people to use New Version Bibles Only verses flashed on the screen referenced during regular services. New King James, ESV, New American Standard Bible, and so forth. They have FIMS, make money, coffee shops in the back, Brazier, TD Jakes, they got ATM machines down there. All of them are part of this. Decor has changed in the churches. Sometimes they change it to a campus, not a church. You got, they have an emphasis on fun and party sessions. I have heard of Christian comedians, Baptist churches, they don't catch it. They eliminate altar calls or salvation invitations at the close of the services. And if they do give them, I've seen it before, they do it just like, okay, if you need to be saved, come on down. He takes a fig leaf position, just stands there. Not, it wasn't like it was before. It's all different. They eliminate the words unsaved, lost, sin, hell, heaven, the millennium. They never talk about the millennium. Very seldom. Classification of the saved and lost to the churched and the unchurched. They marginalize or ostracize anybody who's not avid promoters of the new purpose-driven program for the purposeful-driven life. Closed meetings of the pastor, chosen staff members. Many of them are Freemasons. And have open hostility to members who don't openly embrace the new program, who live for another church. All that's done. David Wilkerson wasn't bound down to him. His death is very questionable indeed. Family, the church right now, today, is the worst place to be almost. It's very hard to find a good church that's not controlled in some fashion. And this is a massive effort. Massive. The purpose-driven church, for example, Saddleback, that in fact has hosted Duck Dynasty. And they're going to write their own Bible. See how they play on TV? Like they're Christian. Are they? No. No way possible. Jimmy Carter, same thing. Well, they pretend to be. What are they really? Look at the works that they do. Purposeful driven church books and most programs are published by Rupert Murdoch. He owns 175 newspapers worldwide. Television, communication. Oh, did I mention he's a Knights of Malta? Owning magazines, some of them called pornographic. Family, Satan is prince of this world. Do I need to say more? Should not be a surprise. Now you see why God's judgment is going to filter through. I want to cover, probably next week, I want to start covering, I think, the, I do have the ability to do that, summarize the different heresies, denial of the sin nature from birth, denial of eternal security, baptismal regeneration, Lord's Supper required weekly, salvation through works, true church theory, denial of the Holy Ghost, denial of Christ, denial of blood atonement, denial of literal burning hell. They got so many of these things. I want to expose those next week. Make sure you remind me. Multiple authorities, salvation through works, denial of the virgin birth. The Campbellettes, it's not a group of singing, it's something else. The apostolic signs and wonders. Denial of eternal security, unpardonable sin. Women preachers. You have prophets, but not preachers. How dare you say, see here comes the charismatic movement and the which was produced by the Illuminati. And also feminism. See, it's all connected. It's just mind-boggling sometimes. It's just amazing. I got it. I've done a lot of study on this. Calvinism, the Baptist bride, the Baptist of the baptism, Holy Ghost and fire, Armstrongism, this rheumatism, whatever, annihilation, universalism, Anglo-Israelism, amillennialism. Goodness gracious alive. All sorts of these things going on. We'll cover those next week in Bible studies of the heresies that's being taught. Whoa, it's 9 o'clock. Remember tomorrow, what happened? Where did time go? Where's Einstein when you need him? Family, born again is before, is needed before Jesus Christ comes or before death. Family, it's important. And then when you know it, God will give you opportunity to witness to others about this. Very important. And you see the attack is coming frequently now, more than ever. Well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by tonight on this pre-Thanksgiving night or whatever. And so tomorrow, no Bible study or broadcast. And y'all be doing the family thing. And so, we'll start again on Friday and be ready to hit the ground running. I'll continue on with the broadcast, as I've been doing, with more detail about their steps and know what they've done. And I always like to end in some solutions. But the solution that's coming is something they can't stop. It's just for y'all to be ready for it. Y'all have a good night tonight. And don't eat too much turkey tomorrow. No, go ahead. It's the leftovers I like the best. The turkey sandwiches, I guess. Because I'm going to a restaurant somewhere or another, so, you know, I have to take a plastic bag and a long coat with a big pocket. Yeah, anyway. So, y'all have a good night tonight. And close in prayer, and then we'll see y'all Friday. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to work together to worship together, to have a Bible study together. Lord, we call upon you to visit our prayers for other requests, and thy will be done, Father, that you'll guide us with wisdom, discernment. Father, to give us that patience that we ask for, that we pray for that patience, and for the wisdom and discernment, Lord, to help others. Father, God, protect us all. Protect those listening tonight and those participating, for them to drive carefully, and Father, to protect them from any intrusion from the outside. With your blood of Jesus, Lord, to protect them from any influence. And Father, these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all have a good night, and I appreciate y'all dropping by in my Bible study that I offer. And hope you get something out of it. For me, it's to keep me straight, so I won't fall back to where I used to be. For me, it's a daily battle. But, you know, I have a sin nature, and I'm fighting it every day. But I've seen things change. Some things are still there, but I keep my mind occupied so I don't go back that way. Y'all have a good night. God bless you. This is your watchman signing off.
Are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. invisible. I am with you every day.